Now, we're holding the third line of the wide lines on Tessazayin Omid Beis. We talked about before that there's a person can be a Nidri, and there's various degrees. There's Nidri, there's Cherem, there's Shamta. And then we also talked about that there's something called Nizifa. When a Talmid Chacham is angry at a person for behaving disrespectfully or for whatever it is, so it doesn't quite rise to the level of Nidri. He doesn't actually put him in Nidri. But nevertheless, the person still has to consider themselves in a state of Nizifa, in a state of rebuke. So we said that in Eretz Yisrael, because there they have smicha, then therefore nizifa would last for a week. On the other hand, we said if it was the nasi that the person offended, not just a regular run of the mill talmid chacham, but rather the nasi, then we said it's 30 days. So now the Gemara says nizifa di dan kamavi. What about for us, meaning in Babel, they didn't have smicha, they didn't have a nasi. So if a person is in a state of nizifa over there, where he angered or upset or insulted a talmid chacham, and we're not talking about insulted deliberately, that we said they'd put him in cheder for. We're talking about or nidri or whatever. We're talking about where unwittingly or they did something without realizing or whatever, and the talmid chacham is upset with them. So how long does nizifa last in outside Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is chad yoma, one day. And here's some examples. Kihod Shmuel and Ma'ukra. We have the example of what happened with Shmuel and Ma'ukra. Shmuel was the Rosh Yeshiva. Ma'ukra was the Reish Golusa and the Dayan. So, Kihabu Yasvi Garsi Shmaita, when they were sitting and learning Torah together, and Shmuel is the Rosh Yeshiva, and Ma'ukra is one of his Talmidim, have a Yosef, Ma'ukra, Kamei Shmuel, Berichu Dalad Amos. So Ma'ukva would sit at a distance of 4 amos from Shmuel. We're not talking about the 4 amos that we were talking about before when a person is Nidri, or is in Nidri, that he can't sit within 4 amos of the other. We're talking about he would sit outside of 4 amos as a sign of respect, like he's not sitting very close to him, like he's not sitting on top of him. So he would sit at a distance of 4 amos. The Chihabu Yasv the Dinner, when they were sitting on a Din Torah, where their Ma'ukva is the Reish Golosa, and he's the head of the Beis Din, have a Yosef Shmuel, Kamei de Ma'ukva Berichu Galad Amos. Then it would be the other way around. Ma'ukva would be the one presiding, and Shmuel would sit as a subordinate 4 amos away from him. Now, even with that though, Ma'ukva is the Av Beis Din. Nevertheless, he didn't want to, when they're sitting in the Beis Din, he didn't want to show that he's greater than Shmuel in that, because after all, Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva, and he wanted to show him Derech Eretz. So what they did was, they hollowed out an area for Ma'ukva. They made the place where he sat lower, and then they put betzifsa. They put a mat on it. So he would be sitting on a mat or a cushion or something out of respect for the fact that again he's the abbeistin. But they would have that actual mat or cushion or whatever would be somewhat lower in the ground. They would have a hole dug a few inches into the ground, so that way he's sitting on the cushion to show his distinction that he's the Av Beis Din, but on the other hand, he's not sitting higher than Rebbe. This way he accomplished both. That he's acting as the Av Beis Din, but on the other hand, he's also showing that he's humble compared to Shmuel. And then he would sit on it, because Ma'ukva wanted that everybody should pay attention to what Shmuel was saying during the Din Torah. Because again, even though Ma'ukva was the Av Beis Din, he was still showing tremendous respect for Shmuel. Well, also, kol yoyma have a malavi, like Ma'ukva, the Shmuel, ad ushbizeh. Every day after they finished learning or doing the Din Torah together, every day Ma'ukva would accompany Shmuel back to the place where he was staying. You often have the Chachamim would be traveling out of town to conduct Dine Torah or to teach Torah or whatever. So in this case, in other words, we're not talking about Shmuel actually lived. We're not talking about in the Haudah where Shmuel actually lived. We're talking about there's someplace out of town, so Shmuel is staying at an inn or something, so Ma'ukva would accompany him there. Yom Echad Itrid B'dine. One day, Ma'ukva was very preoccupied with the Din Torah that he was thinking about, so he forgot to accompany Shmuel as he usually does. Aba ozel Shmuel basrei, so Shmuel is following him, figuring that at some point we're going to turn off and head towards my lodgings. Ki motel abesei, eventually they reach Ma'ukva's house, amalei, so Shmuel says to Ma'ukva, lo nogalach, what, it's not late enough for you? In other words, haven't I walked you far enough already? Lishrei le mar betigrei, let the master, meaning you, let go of his argument. In other words, he's saying, give me permission to leave. I've accompanied you the whole way to your house, and isn't it already time that you should allow me to leave? Now, Yodid knock at Milse Bedaite, so Ma'ukva realized that inadvertently he had offended Shmuel. Like, this Shmuel had apparently figured that Ma'ukva at some point is going to accompany him, as he usually does, and in the event he was Matriach Shmuel to walk all the way to his house, and he didn't even realize, because he was preoccupied with the din Torah that he thought about, that he was thinking about. So there was an example where he inadvertently insulted or treated Talmud Chacham disrespectfully. So now Ma'ukva treated himself as in a state of Nazifa for one day. So we see that in Babel it's one day. Another example, Hahi Itza, there was once a woman, Dahava Yasu Shvila, she was sitting on a pathway, so there's a pathway where people can walk back and forth. She was sitting there, Havas Poshta Kara, she had her legs sticking out across the way, become a Nifa Hushloi, she is waving on peeled barley. So she had a pile of peeled barley over there, and she's waving it or fanning it or whatever to get rid of the shells and the husks and whatever that are mixed in. So she was doing that sitting on this pathway. A young Talmud Chacham passed by, and she didn't show him respect. She didn't get up in his honor. She didn't move her leg. She didn't stop what she was doing or whatever. So it showed a lack of cover for the young Talmud Chacham that was passing by. Omar, so he says, how chutzpahdik is this woman that she doesn't realize to have covered for a Talmud Chacham? Well, she was concerned enough about it, even though, so now she, again, we're not talking about that she deliberately did that. Maybe she didn't realize or whatever, but now he said that, so now she's concerned about it. Asoi l'kamei de Rav Nachman, so she went to ask Rav Nachman, what should she do? Is she in Nidri or something? Omalah, so he asks her, mi shamat shamta mikume, did you hear this Talmud Chacham say anything about you being in shamta or any form of Nidri? She says, no, he just said how chutzpahdik I was. So he says, in that case, he didn't put you in Nidri, you don't have to worry about that. But it is a matter of Nizifa. Ziri Nahugi Nizifusa, Chadyoyma Benafshech, go consider yourself for one day in Nizifa, like we said before. So that's another example where we see that one day is enough in Babel. On a third example, the Gemara says, you see from these stories, by the way, how careful you have to be with the covenant of a Talmud Chacham, that even not to insult them or whatever deliberately, but even inadvertently to be careful not to be preoccupied with what you're doing and fail to give the Talmud Chacham the honor that he deserves. So a third example,
Someone cannot daven a minyan, or he cannot do something that he does normally?
Mepashtus, what it would mean is that they should stay home and, like, consider themselves, like, for one day, sit there doing tshuva and regretting what they did. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're usur to go out and then to go out of the house. It just means they should consider themselves for one day there's something the matter, right? I feel like I've been rebuked. I feel like, you know, I have to feel and I have to act differently. There's not necessarily a specific thing you have to do. We had in the examples before, we had, for example, that Abchiah didn't go to visit Rebbe for 30 days. In the example with Bar Kapara, we said also he didn't go to visit Rebbe for 30 days. So it doesn't necessarily mean they can't go and visit. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to stay home. It just means they have to act for themselves and feel for themselves in a way that they've been rebuked and they've been shamed and they need to resolve to act differently. So it might include, for example, that they stay home. It might include that they, for example, somebody says hello to them and they answer in a sad way, sort of like an although. It could mean a few different things. By the way, it does say in Shulchan Aruch that for many purposes in Halacha, we don't really have Talmud Chachamim of that caliber anymore. So therefore, not necessarily would these Halachas apply on a day to-day basis, but nevertheless, it's, you know, the lesson is still an eternal one to be careful to with the honor of your of the Talmud Chachamim of whatever caliber they are in your generation. Okay, so the Gemara gives a third example. Zutra Bar Tuvia have a kaposik sidra kamei de Rav Huna. Zutra Bar Tuvia, that was his name, was teaching Parshiyos of Tanakh in front of Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda was the Rosh Hashiva. This Zutra Bar Tuvia would be reading off and explaining Psukim and Parshiyos of Tanakh. Ki Mata Lahai Psukah, he reached a Pasuk near the end of Sefer Shmuel, the Eila Divre Dovin HaAchroinim. The Pasuk says, these are the last words of David. Amalei, so Zutra Bar Tuvia asked, when it says Achroinim, when it says the last words, Miklal de Iker Rishonim. So that implies that there are first words. Well, Rishonim Maininu. What specifically are the first words that we're talking about? So Rashi explains, the question is, the word Divrei David suggests words of Nevuah. The word Divrei usually means words of Nevuah. But we don't specifically find before that any Nevuah of David HaMelech. These psukim over there in Shmuel Beis Perekov Gimel are a nevuah that David says, but about the future of Malchus Beis David. But where do we find before that a previous nevuah of David? So Rabbi Yehuda was quiet and he didn't answer anything. Hodor Amalei, then Zutra Bat Rovia asked the question again. Achroni Miklal de Ikirish. He asked the question again. Maybe he figured Rabbi Yehuda didn't hear him. Whatever, we don't know why he asked again, but whatever, he asked again. Omalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, my daita, what are you thinking? So what do you think? Anybody who doesn't know the explanation of this pasuk is not a great person, is not a Talmid Chacham. In other words, he's telling Zutra Bar Tuvia, once you ask the question the first time, you should realize I didn't answer, whatever the reason. It might be exactly because I don't know, but don't ask the question again in a way that's just going to, that I'm going to be, that, what are you trying to force the issue for me to say, yeah, I don't know, and then you're going to think less of me. Don't do that. Yoda did not get milsa b'daite, so Zutra Bar Tuvia understood that Rabbi Yehuda was offended. And again, Nog Nizifusa b'nafshe chad yoima, so he treated himself as being a Nizifa for one day. Because again, Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmid Chacham in Bavel, and therefore for Bavel, one day is enough. Okay, so the Gemara says, Udasan Allah, well, once we've already brought up the point, once Zutra Bar Tuvia brought up the point, Taka, Miha, after all, Achronim Mikal de Iker Rishonim Rishonim Ma'i. It is a good question. What are the Rishonim that the Pasuk is implying by mentioning Divrei David Achronim? So the answer is, the previous Perek starts off by Daber David LaHashem as Divrei Ashira Azos. David spoke the words of this Shira to Hashem. V'yon Hitzel Hashem Osi Mikaf Kol Oivav or Mikaf Shol, on the day that Hashem saved him from the hands of all of his enemies and from the hand of Shol. In other words, this is a song that David sang in gratitude for Hashem, in gratitude to Hashem that Shol is finally out of the picture and he's not gonna ever be chasing after and persecuting David again. We have this Shira in two different places in Tanakh. It's in Shmuel Beis and it's also in Tilim Kapitul Yud Ches. Anyway, so Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David. So what happened was Hashem tells David, David, Shira ata oimer amapalosya shol shol. What are you saying, a shira? You're singing to Hashem in praise for the fact about Shol's downfall. You should know something. Don't think that you're so much greater than him. Il mole ata shol, but who David? You should know. If your situations were switched, if he was in your position and you were in his position, meaning Rashi says, if you were born in his mazel and he was born in your mazel, ibadti kama David niponov. I would have destroyed many Davids for his sake. In other words, on the simple level, what Hashem is telling David is, you should know, you were the right person at the right time. Shol was not. Therefore, that's why you managed to come out on top, and Shol in the end was lost his kingship and was defeated and killed. But don't think it's because you're so much greater a tzaddik than him. It's just because you're the right person in the right time. So, I mean, Rashi uses the expression, if he was born in your mazel, and you were born in his mazel, and you're showing him ask on that, to what happened to in mazel Yisrael, and what are we going to say, the whole concept of kingship in the Jewish people depends on mazel? So no, I mean, they explain it somewhat differently. The idea is, in other words, Malchus is supposed to belong to Beis David. It's supposed to come from Shevet Yehuda. Shol was only meant to be. To begin with, the idea would have been that Shol's kingship would have been temporary, or would have been only over some of the Shvatim or whatever, and kingship would eventually be, that the proper kingship of the Jewish people would be from Yehuda. So Hashem is telling David the reason why I didn't give Shaul as much of a break as I gave you is because, after all, his kingship was never meant to be as long lasting as yours is. Marshall also talks about the idea that we find when David did wrong, for example, in the story of Bathsheba and Uriah, he admitted it right away and started doing tshuva for it, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara. Whereas Shaul first tried when he did in the matter of Amalek in particular, we find that so he tried to make excuses. He says, I was told to, he said the Avest and Doyeg told me to do this, and I was afraid of the people, and so on and so forth. So therefore, in that sense also, Hashem is telling him Hashem is telling David, I gave you more siyata d'shmaya because even though you did two serious averus, nevertheless you did tshuva for them right away b'chol libra, whereas Shaul did not. But you should know, it's not for that. Really, when it comes to, when you think of what caliber of tzaddik you are and what he is, really he's the greater caliber tzaddik. And if your positions had been switched around, then many Davids would have been destroyed for his sake. So don't think that you should be singing shira about Shaul's downfall. So Hainu Dachtiv, thus we find a different...
What tribe was Shaul from?
So Hainu Dachtiv, thus we find a capital tillim that begins Shigoyin L'David, where the Gemara's understanding Shigoyin Meloshin Shgoga, a mistake. So David is singing about his mistake. Asher Shorla Hashem al Divrei Chush Ben Yamini, that he sang to Hashem regarding the matter of Chush Ben Yamini. Now, who is Chush Ben Yamini? Ben Yamini means from Shevet Binyamin. So in other words, we're talking about that David is singing and is singing to Hashem about a mistake that he made regarding Chush Ben Yamini. So the Gemara understands that Cush is actually Shaul. V'chi Cush Shmoy. Now we have to ask, his name is not Cush, V'alei Shaul Shmoy. His real name is Shaul. Ela ma, the reason why he's called Cush in this pasuk is to teach us Ma Cushi Mishuna Ba'orei. Just like a Cushi is different, a Cushi, an Ethiopian, a black person, is different and marked by the color of his skin compared to most people in Eretz Yisrael or in most of the known world at that time. Af Shaul Mishkuna B'Maisav, the same way Shaul is distinguished for his good deeds. And the idea is, in other words, that the blackness of a Cushi is not something, it's not like he was painted or something, it's intrinsic to him. In fact, Ben Yehoyada points out, even for example, you have a Cushi gets injured, the skin that grows back, the scar that grows back is still black. So in other words, the blackness is an intrinsic part of who he is. The same way, the Maisim Tov Mashol are an intrinsic part of who he is, and therefore he's called Cush in the Pasuk. So therefore, so David is saying, in other words, he's admitting, I made a mistake regarding the matter of Cush Ben Yamini when I sang to Hashem to thank Hashem about his downfall that I shouldn't have done. So relating, before we continue the Gemara, by the way, so how does this relate to the Divrei David HaRishonim, and we're saying implicitly those Rishonim? So again, one way of understanding it is that the Divrei David HaRishonim, again, we're saying is Kapitel Chof Gimel, we're saying HaRishonim is Kapitel Chof Beis. So there's a few understandings of that. One of them is, at the beginning of Chof Gimel, he uses the expression, David uses the expression, Omar Elikei Yisrael li divert sur. We're going to quote it a little further down on the Amud. Omar Elikei Yisrael li divert sur Yisrael. Hashem said such and such to me. So in other words, the pasuk doesn't say in so many words, Hashem spoke to David and said such and such. Rather, David is telling us on his own what Hashem told us. So therefore, by the same token, the previous parak, we're saying there was a conversation between Hashem and David, which is not recorded in the pasuk. And now, so we're saying, so that was the divrei David HaRishonim, namely the conversation that he had with Hashem regarding the song that he sang to Hashem about Shaul. And now we have divrei David HaRishonim, the later thing which also Hashem spoke to David, and it doesn't say that Hashem spoke to him. David just tells us that Hashem spoke to him. So there's that, and there's a couple of other explanations how these two things relate. Another explanation is Divrei David HaRishonim. I mean, like, these are David's final thoughts on the matter. Like, first he sang to Hashem about Shaul, but then Hashem told him that was wrong for doing that. So now Divrei David HaRishonim, is he saying now based on what Hashem told me, and now that I understand differently, now I'm going to say different words. Okay. So we're saying that Shaul is called Cush because he was unique with his Maisim Tovim, just like we're saying that a black person is unique or permanently marked by his skin color.
Does this apply to Kippur also?
Does it apply to Kippur? Yeah, we're going to mention it. So, you have exactly the same kind of thing. The Pasuk says that Miriam spoke about the Cushy woman that Moshe had married. Now again, her name is not Cushis, and she herself wasn't black. She was Sephora from Midian. Ella, it means the same kind of thing. Ma Cushis Mishuna Ba'oda, just like a Cushis is different than the average run of people that you see in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel or whatever in those times, by their skin. As Tzipora, Mishuna Ba'maseh, the same way Tzipora was unusual for her Maisim Tovim. And again, that her Maisim Tovim are an intrinsic part of her, just as much as a black person's blackness is an intrinsic part of him. Kayotza Ba'davata Omer, here's another example. In Sefer Yirmiyah, we have a story over there where Yirmiyah has been thrown by his enemies into a deep pit full of mud, and he's in danger of drowning in there. So the pasuk says, "Yishma Eved Melech HaKushi." Eved Melech HaKushi heard, and he went to Tzidkiyahu and got him to give permission to take Yirmiyah out of the pit. Now, the simple meaning Eved Melech HaKushi would mean that the man's name was Eved Melech, and he was a Kushi. The Gemara, rather, is understanding that it means Eved, the servant of Melech HaKushi, the Cushi king. So again, we have to ask, the king's name at that time is not Cushi, Valet Tzidkiyah Shmoy. He was King Tzidkiyah, the last king of Yehuda. So it's the same thing. Ela Ma Cushi, Mishun of Oroi, Av Tzidkiyah Mishun of Amaisa. The same way Tzidkiyahu was an unusual tzad, which in Ein Yaakov, we learned a few days ago, actually, Tzidkiyahu, on a personal level, was a great tzaddik. The pasuk says on him because he wasn't moicha in the rishoyim of his time. The rishoyim were doing various averus and convincing him to keep fighting against Melech Bavel, even though Yirmiyahu was telling him not to. And for that, the pasuk brands him as a rasha. But really, on a personal level, he was a great tzad. So therefore, so over here also, then the pasuk calls him Melech HaKushi in token of that. And here's a fourth example. Kayotza Badavata Omer. Here's a fourth example. The Navi says, at the beginning of that third of Achrimos, Haloi Chivnei Chushiim Atem Li Bnei Yisrael. Aren't you Jewish people to me like the children of Kushiim? So again, what do you mean? Chikushiim Shmon. The Jewish people are not Kushiim. Vala Yisrael Shmon. Ella, the same thing. Ma Kushi Mishun Ba'odai. Just like a Kushi is distinguished by his skin color, as Yisrael, Mishun, and Maaseh, and Kol HaOmos, so the Jewish people are distinguished by their deeds more than any other, different than every other nation. Which, of course, can be for good or not so good, depending, but it means, in other words, for example, that even, let's say we have Jews are naturally Rachmanim, Bashanim, Begum, Lechasadim, and as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that comes from a person's Nefesh Bahamas, not even from the Nefesh Elikis. So even Jews who are far away from Torah and Mitzvahs have those traits as well. Since we're mentioning that pasuk of Divrei David HaAchronim, so now the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about a couple of other psukim from that period. The next pasuk continues after the Divrei David, actually the same pasuk, Amr of Shmuel Banachmeni Amr Mienis. In my distiv, that same pasuk that we said that starts Be'ela Divrei David HaAchronim continues, Ne'um David Ben Yishai, so says David Ben Yishai, Un'um Agevo Hukam Ol. This is the speech of the man Hukam Ol. So literally, Hukam Ol means who was placed up above. So the simple meaning, it means exactly that. He was appointed as king, and therefore he's placed above. But what is the Gemara Darshins? It means, Ne'um David Ben Yishai, these are the words of David Ben Yishai, Shehekim Oyla Shal Tshuva, that he set up and he established the yoke of Tshuva. Which means, so Rashi says, he did Tshuva for the whole thing of Uriah and Bathsheba, and with that, he blazed the path for everybody else after whom who does Tshuva. Meaning, Rashi brings from Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that really, David was far above the level where he should have been doing such an Avera. Why did Hashem make it that he wound up doing this Avera? Why did Hashem put him in that position? Because, like this, in the future, a Yochid does an Avera, then we tell him, look at David HaMelech, he did a serious Avera, at least on the surface, and Hashem forgave him after he did Tshuva. So you also do Tshuva, and you'll be forgiven. So therefore, in that sense, David established the yoke, established that from now on, people are able to do Tshuva. He showed them an example.
People knew what the Maisa was?
People knew, to a certain extent, what the Maisa was, yeah.
And I knew he did Shulah because that was between him and God.
The Gemara tells us in a couple of places. We had it earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Tes, that when Shlomo dedicated the Beis Hamikdash, the gates wouldn't open until he davened that they should be open in the schools of Davar. So at that point, everybody knew that Hashem had forgiven them. So therefore, in that case, Hoikim Ola Shal Trova. Now, the fact is, we know that there were many Baal Trova before him. Odomer Shinavari did Trova from the Chatei Tadas. Kayin did some form of Trova. Reuben did Trova. Yehuda did Trova. There are several examples. So, but one of the ideas is, in fact, that's brought in various places, including in a number of places in Chassidus. It means that David was the first one to do Truva Me'ava, the highest level of Truva. So in that case, Oila Shal Truva, oil means not just a yoke, but also oil, Meloshin higher, the highest level of Truva that David achieved that nobody before him did.
The fact that he didn't have to divorce her
is because, in fact, she wasn't considered married. Bahalach. The Gemara discusses that in some places.
The fact is she was
destined for him. Now, the Gemara says Ochla Paga that he married her prematurely. If he had allowed things to develop in the normal way, then eventually Uriah would have died and he could have married her completely back. So he did the wrong thing that he did was to marry her prematurely, not that he married her at all. So therefore to divorce her wouldn't be the whole point was that Shlomo came from him.
Well, the impression that he gave, he looked at it at face value.
Well, that's why we don't look at it at face value. This is why we have a Torah Shabbat. Alright, let's go on. Okay, so David continues, the next pasuk, Omar Elokei Yisrael, the God of Yisrael said, Li Dibur Tzu Yisrael, the rock of Yisrael, meaning Hashem spoke to me, Moshe Bo'odem Tzadik, the one who rules over people is a Tzadik, Moshe Bo'odem, the one who rules over the people, Tzadik Moshe, Yiras Elokim, the Tzadik rules with fear of Hashem. So my karma, what does he mean by that? Omar Ababo, Hochi Karma. Omer Elokei Yisrael means Hashem said as follows, Li Dibur Tzu Yisrael, Hashem spoke to me and said as follows, that Ani Moshe Ba'adam, I the Tzu Yisrael, I the rock of Yisrael, Hashem, rule over people, me Moshe be, and who in turn rules over me, Tzadik, the Tzadik, so to speak, rules over Hashem, Chani goes Gzeira Mavatla, that I, Hashem, can make a Gzeira, and the Tzadik can be Mavatla. So therefore, that's what we mean by Tzadik Moshe Yiras Elokim, that the Tzadik, through his Yiras Elokim, is able, so to speak, to rule over Hashem and overrule Hashem's days. A couple of psukim later, it says, Elah Shmois HaGiborim Asher LeDavid, it says, these are the names of the mighty men of David. Now, on the simple level, it's exactly that. It's going to give a list of the top-level heroes, the elite members of David's army. But the first one on the list is Yosef Basheves. The first one on the list is Yosef Basheves Tachkamon. Literally, Yosef Basheves means the one who sits in the seat. Tachkamon is related to the word Chacham, which means wise. So my Talmud, the Gemara says, what does that mean? What is Yosef Basheves? How is that the name of a mighty man of David? Amar Ababo, Chachi Kamar. What the pasuk means is the Eva Shmos Gvuroisav Shal David. Before we get to the list of David's heroes and the elite members of his army, first, we're going to talk about the mighty things that David himself accomplished. Namely, Yosef Basheves. What does it mean when it says Yosef Basheves? It means, B'shasha Yosef Yeshiva, when he was sitting in the Yeshiva learning and teaching Torah, Loihoye Yosef Agave Korim Upsasis, he would not sit on pillows or cushions, Ela Agave Karka. Rather, he would only sit on the ground. Why? D'chol kama d'have Rabbe Ira Hayyiri Tayam. As long as David's Rebbe Ira Hayyiri, the pasuk mentions that Ira Hayyiri Haya Koyin LeDavid, where Koyin means, among other things, a high level minister. So it means that he was David's Rebbe. So as long as he was alive, have a master Lahu LeRabbanon Agabit Torah Muksasis. So Ira, when he was teaching the Chachamim in the Beis Medrash, he would sit on pillows and cushions. When Ira passed away, Havamachni David ben Abonim, and David took over teaching the people Torah, teaching the Chachamim Torah. But he would sit on the ground instead of on pillows like Ira. So they would tell him, why don't you sit, Rebbe, why don't you sit on pillows and cushions? He didn't want to. So therefore, because he wanted to show a greater level of omnipotence. So that's what it means, Yosef Basheves, that instead of sitting on pillows and cushions, instead he would sit on the ground. So now when the pasuk continues, Takamoni, so it means Omer Rab, means Rab says, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that Hashem tells David, Hoyo Vishpalta Atzmacha, since you humbled yourself, that you don't even want to sit on a higher place when you're teaching the Chachamim, you want to sit on the floor together with them, Tehei Kamoni, then you will be on a level like me, which, as we just said, Shani goes of Zera, Vatma Vatma, that I will be able, that when I make of Zera, you will be able to cancel it. You'll have the source to do it. So the word Tach Kamoni, we're doushing as Tehei Kamoni, we often find that a Ches and a Hei interchange. And Hashem, and the Pasuk continues, so that we should really quote the whole Pasuk. The whole Pasuk goes, Eila Shmois HaGiborim Asher the David, Yoshev HaShevis Tach Kamoni, Hu Rosh HaShalishi, he was the head of the three, he used to raise up a spear against 800 and against 800 dead enemies at once. In other words, he'd be able to kill 800 in one shot. So now the Gemara is doushing this pasuk phrase by phrase. So Yoshev Hashem, so we said, Ela Shmois HaGiborim Asher LeDavid means that this is actually describing David's own mighty act. Yoshev Hashem, as we said, means that he sat on the ground. Tachamoni means Hashem says in the schus of that, Tehei Kamoni, you will be like me. And Rosh HaShalishim, when it continues, the head of the three, means Tehei Rosh L'Shloshas Avos, you will be the head, you will be the leader of the three Avos in the schus of this, which means Rashi says, in Olam Haba, David will be walking ahead of the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Marashah also adds, you have the story in Psachim, that when you have the Suda, when you have the Suda Slav Yosem, afterwards, they need somebody to lead benching, and the Gemara goes through there. Avraham is going to say, I can't. Yitzchak is going to say, I can't. Yaakov, etc. And David takes the cup and actually benches. So in that sense, like he's the leader over even the three of us. So that's what it means, Rosh HaShalish.
Yosef. Yosef pardon the children, but that's another story.
Yeah. Okay, the pasuk continues, Hu Adinoi Ha'etzni. The pasuk continues, he is Adinoi Ha'etzni. So what is that? So what does that part mean? When I quoted the pasuk before, I left that part out. But anyway, Hu Adinoi Ha'etzni. So what does that mean? So Yosef Va'osek HaTorah means that David, when he was sitting and learning Torah, he would bend himself like a worm. So Rashi describes that he'd bend his hands and feet together and sit on the ground, like in a crouching position, in order to be able to delve into learning Torah, like he's taking up less room that way. The Aruch explains also the word ma'aden can also mean soften, like he would be very careful to sit in a comfortable position so that he can completely focus on learning. On the other hand, when he's going out to war, then there's no softness, then there's no curling yourself up or anything. Then he would make himself as hard and tough as wood to be able to fight against the enemy. So in other words, the point is that he knew how to act in the appropriate way at the appropriate time and not confuse them.
And he led the people in battle.
And he led the people in battle. And when the pasuk says, when it says over 800 dead bodies of enemies at one time, meaning means what it sounds like. He would shoot one arrow, and with it he would kill 800 enemy soldiers at once. Now, that for most people, that would be a great thing. But David was crechting and sighing over the fact that he's lacking 200. After all, the pasuk says in Hazinu, how could it be that one will chase 1,000? Now, the pasuk over there is talking about the context. It's talking about how the goyim are going to be persecuting the Jewish people, Rachman al-Tzvan. But obviously, if you have that as midah ra, for sure as midas peronus, then for sure for midah tova, you should have to have that when times are good, the Jewish people should be able, one Jew should be able to kill 1,000 enemies. Why am I getting only 800? Yotz abasko va'omra rakbid bar Uriah achiti. Abasko came out and said, only because of the matter of Uriah Hachiti. In other words, because of that, you lost 200. Before that, you would have, in fact, been able to kill 1,000. An interesting vote that's brought from the Vilna Gaon. In fact, we said before about the Shira of David, that's in two places, in Sefer Shmuel, and in Sefer Tillim. There's a bunch of minor differences between them, a word or a letter different here or there. There's one of the psukim near the end, says in Tillim, it's Tishmireni L'Rosh Goyim. In Shmuel, it's Tisimei L'Rosh Goyim. So the resh that's missing in the other place represents what we're saying over here, the 200 that he was lacking. The word Tishmereni has a gematria of 1,000, and the word Tisimeni has a gematria of 800. So that represents the difference that we're saying. Okay. So now getting back to Dinim of Nidri. The Gemara says, Omer of Tanchum bread, of Chia Ishpa Akoi, Omer of Yaakov Ba'acha, Omer of Simoi, Ba'amila, or others say, Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Huna, Ba'amila, Omer of Huna Lachude, so the different version of who exactly said the following statement. Talmud, Shinida Lachvoide, if a Talmud Chacham put somebody in Nidui because of his own honor, so the person, in other words, the person insulted him, so we're talking about the person insulted him, so then Nidui, Nidui, his Nidui is valid. Now, it doesn't affect everybody else. But it does affect, in other words, that the person is in a partial state of nidui. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, we learned this previously on Tezayin, Menudel Rav, Menudel Talmud, when a person is in nidui to the Rebbe, then automatically he's in nidui regarding the Rebbe's Talmidim. So in other words, the Rebbe's Talmidim have to treat this person as in a state of nidui as well. Menudel Talmud, ain't Menudel Rav, but vice versa, if he's only Menudel for the Talmud, he's not Menudel for the Rav. And the Gemara is going to explain in a second that we have to be talking about where he did it because the person insulted him on a personal level, not necessarily because we can't be talking about where he put him in nidui because he was actually over on some aveir, as we'll get to in a second. So let's figure. So you're saying that the person is not in nidui regarding the Talmud's rab, but the implication is, as far as everybody else, then he would be. So in other words, so you have, there's the Rav, there's the Talmud, and there's everybody else. So the Talmud put this person in Nidui. So the Rav of the Rebbe of that Talmud does not have to treat that person as a Nidui. But everybody else who's on a lower level than the Talmud does. Now, Lamai, so what are we talking about? What was the circumstance why the Talmud put this person in Nidui in the first place? Even Mili Dishmaya, was it because he did something against Hashem, he did an Aveira? Well then, why shouldn't apply to the Rebbe? After all, like the Pasuk says, Ein Chochma ve'ein Tvona ve'ein Eitzim v'negen Hashem. No Chochma, no wisdom or understanding or advice stands up against Hashem. So in other words, if the person actually did an Aveira, that makes him Chayav Nidui, one of the 24 things that it says that makes him Chayav Nidui, then there's no such thing the Rav can say, well, the person who put him in Nidui is on a lower level than me because he's my Talmud, therefore I don't have to pay attention to him. It doesn't work that way. Everybody has to show equal honor to Hashem. So obviously we're talking about where it's for his own kavod, where the person insulted him on a personal level, and then we're saying the Talmud is entitled to put the person in Nidui for that, but that Nidui doesn't apply to those who are higher than the Talmud, such as the Talmud's Rebbe. Okay, so in this connection, Amar of Yosef, a young Talmud Chacham is allowed to make a din for himself, in other words, he's allowed to decide things for himself and do things for himself, when it's clear to him what the halacha is. Now, there's a lot of different explanations what this means. Rashi explains that it means that the young Talmud Chacham can tell the other person, you owe me such and such, for example, and force him to do it, even as long as he knows 100% for sure, as long as he doesn't have a suffer. Now, the question that Rishonim ask on that is that power is not unique to a Tzurim et Abonim. There's a concept in Halacha called Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe, that if, for example, I see that you're holding something which I know for a fact is mine, which means that you stole it from me, I'm allowed to grab it back. That's Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. And you have certain other cases like that in Halacha. So there's nothing unique about a Talmud Chacham about that. So there's a lot of different explanations what exactly we mean here. It can mean that not only the Talmud Chacham can force the person to give it back, but if he refuses to, then he can put him in Cheva, he can put him in Nidu. Although the Rosh doesn't like that explanation, because how can the Talmud Chacham be judging things for himself? Is he biased? I mean, Adam Korav Eitzel Atzmai, a person can't even be a Adam Bastian together with his relative, let alone to Paskin Halacha for himself. So there's a different explanation that we're talking about. Let's say the other person not just insulted him, but called him something which is definitely like a severe insult, like, for example, calling him an Evan, where an average person wouldn't have the ability because of that to put the person in Nidui by the Talmud Chacham would. There are a number of different explanations along those lines.
So what he does, can he forgive it, or he's got to wait until the meeting?
So he can forgive it. We said before that he can put somebody in Nidui and take matter. We're going to talk about it further on the Yom Kippur. Okay. So now here's another story. Here's another case of involving Nidui from which we can learn certain halachos. Ha'hut serve me rabbanon da havu sonu shum oni. There was a certain young Talmud Chacham where there were bad rumors going around about him. Now, we're not talking about, in other words, where he, you know, for example, he just had enemies who are spreading false rumors about him. We're talking about there was a basis for these rumors. The Ritva gives one explanation, for example, that this guy was being in yichud together with women. So is he actually being mezaneh with them? We don't know. But at least there's reason that his reputation is bad for this.
Unmarried women.
Amr of Yehuda, Hechi Levin. So Rabbi Yehuda is wondering what to do. L'shamte, should we put him in chayrim for this behavior? Can't Tzrichei Le'rabbanan, the chachamim of that area, need him? He's their Rebbe. He's teaching them Torah. Loi L'shamte, should we not put him in chayrim? Come Mischol Shema D'Shmaya. It's going to make a chilul Hashem. People are going to think that other people are going to think that they can act that way. Or the Ritva says it can also mean people are going to think that Talmid Chachamim are flattering and showing favoritism to each other. Like they would say, if this was a regular person, you would do it. And what? Because you're Talmid Chacham, you're not going to. It's not right. So what do we do? So Rabbi Yehuda asks Rabbi Baba Chana, have you heard anything, you being in particular Rabbi Baba Chana was from Eretz Yisrael, have you heard anything about what we should do about this in practice? Amalei, so Rabbi Baba Chana says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Yes, this is what Rabbi Yechanan said. My dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in a pasuk, Ki sifsei koyen yishmeru das, the lips of the koyen will preserve understanding, the soda yivakshu mipihu, and they should seek Torah from his mouth, they should seek to have him teach them Torah, Ki malach Hashem tzvokesu, because he is an angel of Hashem tzvokes, we learn from that. Im doma Rav malach Hashem, if the Rav is like a Malach Hashem who's free of Averus, so at least who's not doing Averus in a way that people know about, Yivakshu Torah Repeal, then he's the kind of person that you should be learning Torah from. The Imlav Al Yivakshu Torah Repeal. If not, then they should not be requesting to learn Torah from his mouth. So in other words, Rav Baba Chana is saying, you're saying don't put him in Chayim because the Talmid Chachamim of his city need him to teach them Torah. They shouldn't be learning from such a person in the first place. Now, in fact, in Chagiga, in a couple of weeks, we're going to learn, Be'ez Hashem, about Reb Meir, learn from Acher. And the Gemara mentions over there this point, over there also, why did Reb Meir do that? There is, in fact, the Gemara mentions over there that there might be a difference in that regard between Katanim and Golim, because Katanim, the children, are more, there might be children are more easily affected by somebody who's not behaving properly, and they're more likely to learn that. So the Gemara says, Hob a Godel, Hob a Cotton. So Tosfos explains over there that Katanim are more likely to follow him. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says over there, even if these people who were learning from this Talmid Chacham are adults, the difference is that here, Rabbi Yehuda had reason already to put him in Chayrim, so therefore, because of the way he was acting, so therefore, even though his Talmidim are adults, and maybe therefore the problem of Torah of action appeal doesn't really apply because they're not so likely to be following him, nevertheless, since Rabbi Yehuda already has good reason to put him in Chayrim, then the fact that he's teaching people Torah, Rabbi Baba Chana is saying, should not be a reason to save him. So, sure enough, Shamte Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda put the Talmid Chacham in Chayim. L'soit ichlash Rabbi Yehuda. Later on, Rabbi Yehuda was feeling weak and sick. Osir Rabbanu l'shayu l'day. So the Chachamim all came to do Bikur Chayim. But osir ihu nami ba'adayu. This young Talmid Chacham came along with them as well. Kad chazir Rabbi Yehuda chayich. When Rabbi Yehuda saw this young Talmid Chacham, he smiled. Or like he gave a grin. Amalei, so the Talmid Chacham was offended. He says, "Lo nistayach l'shamti la'u gavra. It's not bad enough to put him in. You put me in chayrim. Ela achuchi nami chayich bi. You even laughing at me. What is this?" Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda says, "La b'ridach m'chayachna. It's not that I'm laughing at you. It's not that I'm insulting you. Ela, the reason why I'm happy when I see you, deki azlina la'u alma. I know that when I go to the next world, to the Olam Emes." The dicha da'atoi, I will feel good about myself, and knowing that filo legaver kavasoch like hanifilei, that even a great person, even a Talmid Chacham like you, who, like we were saying, the people of your town are learning Torah from you, I didn't chan for you, I didn't treat you with favoritism. So I know I'm happy that when I stand in front of the base in Shamaila and have to review everything that I did, I will know that here I did the right thing. That even though you were Talmid Chacham, I didn't treat you with any favoritism. I put you in Chayrim because that's what you deserve.
That didn't help. I'm
obviously, that didn't make the person want to do Tshuva at that point. Well, Noch Nafshei de Rabbi Yehuda. At that point, Rabbi Yehuda passed away. Also, Levei Mebusha. Now this guy finally wakes up and realizes that he needs to get the Chayrim taken away. So he comes to the Beis Medrash. Omelahu Shorim. So he asks them, "Be Matir the Chayrim for me." Omru le Rabbanon. So the Chachamim of the Beis Medrash told him, Gavra the Choshev Krav Yehuda Lekachafa. There's nobody here in Babel who's as great as Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, it's not right. He put you in Cherem. We shouldn't have anybody of lesser caliber take you out of it. Rather, go to Eretz Yisrael, go to the Yehuda Nasiya, and he, being the Nasi, he can be Matur for you. This is not, we've mentioned before that there were a few different Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyas in history. There was the first Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. This one that we're talking about over here is the grandson of that one. So he's a later generation. He wasn't quite on the level of the Nasiyim before him, but nevertheless, he was still a distinguished Talmid Chacham. This may be not in the top tier of Chachamim. But anyway, he's a Nasi, he can be Matur for you. Ozel Kameh, so he went to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya to be Matur of the Chayim. Omele Rabbi Ami, Puk Ayin Vidine. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya himself didn't want to decide it. So he said, Rabbi Ami, go check into it. Imi Boi Lemishre Le Shorile. If you find Api Alofa, that it's appropriate to be Matur of the Chayim, then go ahead and do it. Ayin Rab Ami Medine, so Rab Ami looked into it, Sovel Mishrile. He thought to say, okay, listen, the guy suffered enough already, we should be Matur the Chedem. But Omad Rab Shmuel Ban Achmeni Al Raglav, Rab Shmuel Ban Achmeni, who was one of the older Talmid Chacham of that generation, got up of Omad, and he said, we can't. Uma Shivcha Shal Beis Rebbe, Madach a case where Rebbe's maidservant, which we're going to talk about the story later on the Omad, the Chachamim did not treat her nidui casually. She put somebody in nidui, as we're going to say soon in the Gemara, and the Chachamim treated that seriously, and they weren't matter for the guy Shalish Shonim for 3 years. Yehuda Chavirenu, Allah's Kama Vakama. How much more so when our colleague Yehuda in Babel put this guy in Chedem, we shouldn't be so quick to be matter. Omer of Zera, so Rav Zera was also there in the Mismedish at that time, and he says, "My de come on. What's this? It seems like Hashgacha Pratis. It's such an unusual thing. The Asa Ha'idna, Hai Saba, B'mei Memisha, that all of a sudden this old Talmid Chacham of Shmuel Ben Achmeni came to the Mismedish. The Hakama Shani, like also, it's been many years already that he hasn't regularly come to the Mismedish. Pashkus was old. So, and all of a sudden, punt, he came today. It must be, Shmamina Lai Boy the Mishra, it must be, it was Ashkacha Pratis, so that he should inform us of that point, and therefore that we shouldn't be mad to this guy's Chayim. So, Lai Shorolai, so they wound up not being mad to it. The guy's still in Chayim. Nafa Kika Bochi V'Ozl. So he left crying. Now he realized he that's it. He hit a brick wall, there's nowhere to go.
He made
the trip for nothing, but I'm sure that's not what bothered him the most. Yeah. Also, Zibura, a bee or a wasp or some such insect like that came, the Taukei Amse, and stung him on his ama, on his male organ, the Shachiv, and he passed away from that. Why Dafka on that part of his body? Tosfos brings, because the original Chashad, the original suspicion against him was in a matter of Znos, like we said before, that he was in Yichud together with unmarried women, so therefore now, Midi, he got punished with that part of his body. There is, with that said, though, there are Rishonim who have different Gersois over here. For example, Rav Shlomo ben Hayosin brings a Gersa, not Amse, but rather Apuse, which means on his forehead. Whatever the case, he passed away from that sting, that bee sting killed him. So now at least he'll have his kapara. I mean, so that's, he's finally crying, so okay, he passed away, but now at least he'll be able to go to the Olam Emes and get his kapara.
He said, yeah.
So, Ailuhulam out of the Hasidi, they wanted to bring him into the cave where the Hasidim are buried, Hasidim people who act, Lefnim Meshur Sadin, Veloy Kibluhu, but they didn't accept him there. Rashi and Tosfos both mentioned that there was a snake surrounding the cave and wouldn't allow them in. We find various other places in Shas where the Chachamim would be trying to bury somebody someplace and there would be a snake there not allowing them in. So that was always their simen, in other words, that it means Min HaShemayim, we don't want it to be buried. So instead they brought him into the cave of the Dayanim, the Kibluhu, and there they accepted him. So the Dayanim are, so now, one explanation can mean, it means exactly that. Dayanim is Roshei Beis Din, so Hasidim are of a higher caliber, so he doesn't belong together with the Hasidim, but at least with the Dayanim, the people who judged, Abitura, he can belong with them. There are a couple of other explanations, though, one of them being that the Dayanim over here, Tosfos elsewhere, says that these may have been corrupt Dayanim. who took Shreshad or whatever. So therefore, he belongs with those kinds of people. Another possibility that Rishonim bring is Dayani. Doesn't mean Dayanim at all. Means people who have already been judged and punished by Hashem, and therefore they already have their kapara, and therefore he's in the same category. He got judged and punished, and he got stung like this, so therefore he belongs with them. So the Gemara says, my
There's a question here. At the beginning of this year, we talked about the union of tshuva. We're talking about the tshuva, the ahava. Here, this Talmid Chacham really did tshuva. He was crying. And we're not
crying
accepting tshuva.
Crying is one of the parts of tshuva. What we see, for example, that when Rabbi Yehuda first put him in Nidui, he didn't think to change his behavior. He didn't think to go and ask even to have them be mocked in the Nidui. Only after Rabbi Yehuda passed away did he even wake up and realize, you know what, I should really do something about this. And with all of this, okay, there was some level of tshuva, obviously, which is why Hashem finally allowed that, at least instead of being in limbo over there, instead of just being in Nidui for the rest of his life, so at this point he'll pass away and he'll be able to be buried and judged in the Olam Emes, but it wasn't obviously the kind of tshuva that would be enough for this, certainly not to get him into the Ma'orah of Machzidim. But wait, one second, we're going to talk about, let's learn the next two lines of the Gemara, and then we'll see a little more clearly. So the Gemara says, my timer, why? Now what's the why that the Gemara is asking? So Rashi explains the why is, why in the end did he wind up in the Ma'orah of the Dayanim? According to the explanation that we mean regular Dayanim, good Dayanim, not like Tosfos says elsewhere that it means corrupt Dayanim, and not like the explanation that it says means people who were punished already by Hashem, but rather it means regular Dayanim, the regular ones who judge on Beis Din. Why does he deserve to be with them? What was his Mila that he gets to be with them? That's one way of explaining the question. Another way of explaining the question is why did he have to get punished so severely? So the answer is Da'ovid K'Rabbi Loi. The reason is because he did like what Rabbi Loi said. If a person sees that his Yetzirah is overpowering him, let him go to a place where they don't recognize him. He'll wear black clothes, where in those times black clothes was a sign of mourning. And wrap himself in black robes, again, as a simon of mourning and whatever. And then let him do what his heart desires. Rather than make a chilul Hashem in public. So now, what does this mean? Rashi says it means literally, let him do what he wants, even if he does the avera. It's the least worst option because at least he's not making a chilul Hashem. So that's one explanation. Rashi says the second explanation Rashi brings from Haigon is no. Mashi doesn't mean obviously we're not giving him permission to do an avera. It means once he's not where he originally lived, and he's wearing shchodim, masachiv shchodim, then at that point, by that point, that's going to break his heart, and he's not going to be interested in doing the aveva. Tosfos brings a similar thing from Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel here on the Gemara actually says something slightly different. What they're talking about, the kind of averus the person is thinking of doing, we're not talking about full-fledged averus. We're talking about where a person wants to, for example, listen to goyish music and do other things like that in order to arouse his yetzahara. So the point is, if once he's wearing the shchodim and once he's not where he originally lived and wearing shchodim and whatever, then if he listens, then even if he listens to that music and does whatever, he's much less likely to actually that it'll lead him to do the aveda because the fact that he's acting like that, the fact that he's wearing clothes of mourning like that is more likely to break his yetzahara. Now the Rif says actually. Never mind the statement of Rabbi Loi. How can you say a person has the right to do it? The person always has to control his Yetzirah. But again, the explanation is it doesn't necessarily mean he's able to do the Aveda. It means at this point he's far less likely to do the Aveda. But again, Rashi's first explanation is that even at that point he does the Aveda. It's at least like this, he would have done the Aveda and made a Chil Hashem. Like this, at least he's not making a Chil Hashem. So now these various explanations also affect when we say my time. So according to Rashi, the vote is because at least he tried to do like what Rabbi Loi said, namely that he was Loi b'shchodim, he is out of shchodim, and still couldn't control his Yetzirah, that at least, so he had to be severely punished, but at least it got him that now he's able to be buried together with Dayan. According to the various other explanations, what we're saying is, to begin with, he was acting like Rabbi Loi when it's inappropriate. He could have controlled his Yetzirah, and he failed to do so, and that's why we're saying that's why he got punished so severely. continues the Gemara. Shivcha Shabbos Rebbe Maihi. We mentioned before that there was a case where a maidservant in Rebbe's house put somebody in Cherem and the Chachamim took it very seriously. What's that story? So the case is, the Amsa Debe Rebbe Chazisila Hu Gavra, the Hamim Machi Lebnoi Godel. He once saw a certain person was hitting a son of his who was already an older child, where he could conceive it, where he might be, he's old enough to hit back. Omra, so she said, that person should be in Cherem, because he's being over on Lifnei Ivrei Sitin Michshol. He's making it possible, he's making it likely that the other person is going to do an Aveira. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, the listener Ivrei Sitin Michshol, the Makal of No God or Akosim and Aver. The Pasuk is talking about that kind of thing, where a person hits his older son, where his son is very likely to hit back and be over on the Isser. We had him this week's parasha, or Makal of Ve'imoi, so therefore he shouldn't be doing that. Or curse him, right? The son might curse him as well, which, by the way, the Ritva says doesn't only mean a B'nai Gadol. Usually you would have that only with B'nai Gadol. If the kid is a cotton, but still he's an old enough or strong enough cotton that he might hit or curse, then yeah, you shouldn't be hitting him at that age. Okay, so we see, therefore, that the Chachamim treated her, we said before, the Chachamim treated that very seriously, and they considered the person to be in Cherem for the next 3 years. Okay. Another case involving Cherem, Rish Lakish have a minta pardesa. Rish Lakish one time was guarding an orchard to keep people from going and stealing the fruit. Asahu Gabriel ka'ochel ta'ini. A person came in there and started eating some of the figs. Ramabe Kala, said Rish Lakish yelled at him. And the other guy didn't pay any attention and continued doing what he was doing. Omar, said Rish Lakish, said, Ahu Gabriel b'shamta. That person, meaning you, should be in Cherem. Omale, so now the guy answers back. He said, Adirama, Levi Ahu Gavra Bashanta. Just the opposite. You need to be in Cherem. Im Mamun Nischayatilah. Even if you're going to argue that I owe you money, fine, you can argue that I'm stealing and I owe you money. Nidui Minischayatilah. Where do you get the idea that I should be Chayav Nidui? And so you're putting a person in Nidui inappropriately. For that alone, you should be in Nidui, which in fact, that is one of the 24 things that I'm on list. When we say there are 24 things for which a person is chayav Nidui, one of them, we see from this Gemara, is putting somebody in Nidui inappropriately. The Tosfos says what it is, he could have called him to a dintura. Or, also, the fact is, even based in themselves, can't right away put him in Cherem. We learned previously that they have to first do Sheni B'chamishi B'sheni. They have to first announce about it on the Monday and Thursday and Monday before. Tosfos also brings an explanation from the Minatam that actually it was a common minhag in this particular place. Usually you're not allowed to take something from a person unless you have permission in advance. But in this particular area, the common minhag, which everybody knew, was that you could take fruit from somebody else's tree and then pay him afterwards. So in that case, it's not even considered gezel at all. So in that case, a Rish Lakish, apparently, according to that, didn't know of that local minhag, and therefore he figured the guy is stealing, but really according to the local minhag it wasn't. So now this person has said that their shlokas should be a nidu. Also, the medrasha. So he went to ask the medrash, what's the story? Omrulay, and the Chachamim told him, Shaloi nidui. His is a valid nidui because he had good reason to say that you're a nidui because what you did to put him in nidui is wrong. Shokha and a nidui. Yours is not. So he has no problem, but you are now a nidui. Well, the problem is my takante. So what do we do to fix it up? We have no idea who that guy was. So they told him, so what you do is so go to him, let him be Matu Yochayim. So he says, Lo Yadayin, I don't know who he is. So they told him, in that case, in that case, go to the Nasi, and he can be Matu. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa. If people put somebody in Cherem and he doesn't know who it was, let him go to the Nasi and the Nasi will be matter it, because the Nasi outranks all the other Chachamim and all the other Jews. So therefore, no matter what, you can be sure that you're going to somebody who's greater than the one who put you in Cherem. More on the topic of Nidui, Omer Avuna, but Usha Hiskinu, the Chachamim made a takone in Usha. We learned back from Rosh Hashanah that Usha was one of the places in the decades after the Churban where the Sanhedrin was located for a while. There were actually two times when it was in Usha. During one of those times when the Sanhedrin was there, they made a takone. Av Beistin Shesorach in Menadinoi. So if an Av Beistin acts wrongly, does an Avera, they don't put him in Nidui. Ela Oimelehi Kobid Veshev Vesecha. Rather, we tell him, using Loshanat Pasif, he covered v'shev v'sefer, which means Rashi says two possibilities. He covered can mean Loshan covered as in heavy. So pretend like you have a headache. Pretend like your head is heavy and you have to stay home. Don't make it obvious that, so in other words, we don't want you in the Beis Medrash right now, but let's not make it obvious. Let's pretend that it's just you're not feeling well. The other possibility, Rashi says he covered, is Meloshin covered. You'll have more covered at this point if you stay home, because if you come to the Beis Medrash, we're going to have to publicize it. So we do that rather than making a public thing out of it. Chazar v'sarach, if again, then he acts wrongly, at that point they put him in Nidui, because at that point there will be a Chil Hashem. Like we said before, other people are going to learn from him to act that way. People are going to think that Chachamim are flattering each other. So therefore, if he does this already again, then we have to put him in Nidui. I once saw an interesting explanation, but in this connection, by the way, you have the famous story in Brochus where they deposed Rav Gamliel as Nasi. One possibility is that was before the Stakhana of Usha. Maybe after that, maybe if that story had happened after the Stakhana of Usha, they might not have done that. They might have instead have told Rav Gamliel with this law should be covered with Sheva Besecha rather than publicly deposing him. So the Gemara says, "Pligda de Rishlokish." Now, this that we just said, that if he does it again, we do put him in public nidui, that disagrees with what Rishlokish said. The Amr Rishlokish, Tamid Chacham, Shasarach, Ein Menad, Noisim Hasya. A Tamid Chacham, not even a Nasi, a regular Tamid Chacham, who acts wrongly, we don't put him in nidui in public, we only do it in private. Shenema, V'choshalta Hayyim, the Pasuk says, you will stumble during the day, V'choshagam Navi, Imcha Laila, and the Navi representing the Talmud Chacham will also stumble with you at night. So what do we mean? Kalaila means kaseo. Kalaila means cover it up like the night. In other words, don't make kaseo, cover it up. Don't humiliate him by putting him in nidui. But Fahesia, do it in private. The Gemara says, Mazutra Chasidra, Ki Mechayev Tzuvim et Abonin Shamta, suppose that a Talmud Chacham had to be put in Chayim. So what Mazutra Chasidra would do is Shamta, so Bereisha Mashmis Nafshei, first Mazutra Chasidra would put himself in Chayim, which as the Gemara is going to say in a second, a person can do that. And the reason why he would do that, Rashi says, it's because of, he felt bad because of the honor, because of the honor of that Talmud Chacham, that the fact that he has to disregard the honor of that Talmud Chacham and put him in Chayim. So first he would put himself in Chayim, because we said before that dishonoring a Talmud Chacham is grounds for Nidui. So he would first put himself in Nidui. Tosfa says it was more because of the Tzar. Tosfa says gives two other reasons. One is because of the Tzar. He felt bad that he should have to do this Talmud Chacham. And the third reason, because the Gemara is going to say that this way, when he came this way later on, it would remind him, the fact that he himself is in Nidui, it would remind him to take off the Nidui on the Talmud Chacham. So first he would put himself in Nidui, v'hoder mashmas l'diday, then he would put the other guy in Nidui, kiyava oil v'ushbizei, then when Mazutra Chassidu came to his lodgings, shoru le l'nafshe, first he would be matir his own Nidui, v'hoder shoru le l'diday, then he would be matir the Nidui for the other guy. So Rashi, Tosfos rather explains that yavei zakai v'chaper alachayev, it has to be that the one who's going to be mechaper on the one who's guilty himself should be zakai. That's why he would take off the nidui on himself first before he would take it off on the other guy. With that said, Rabbi Hananel has a gusa the other way around. First he would take it off the other guy and then off himself. But whatever, he would do that as a matter of midas chasidus, to show how much he still wants to honor that Talmud Chacham, or how bad he feels about having to do this.
The other person
told me, but the other person would maybe knew it, maybe would not. Omer of Dido Amarab, Talmud Chacham Menad al Atzmai, Meifel Atzmai. In that connection, a Talmud Chacham can put himself in Nidui, and he can be matir his own Nidui. So Gemara says, Omer of Papa, Tasi Li. Now, Rav Papa says, I should get a reward. Min Hashemayim, we've talked about this lashon Tasi Li before. One of the explanations is he means mitzvah, gereres mitzvah. So in the course of this mitzvah, I should have the ability to do other mitzvahs. D'lo shamisi tzuvam en abonon me'olam. I never put a young Talmud Chacham in Nidu. Which in fact, I mean, we talked about before, for example, that if somebody insults a Talmud Chacham, he has the right to put him in Nidui. But the Rambam describes, based on this Gemara, that it is a midas chasidus to not do that. To be mavra amigosa. With that said, the Rambam distinguishes between whether he does it in private or in public. If the other person does it in public, then you can't be moichel on it because other people are going to learn to do it. So we're saying Rav Papa is particularly saying that he has a schus, he has a schus that he's claiming that he never put a Talmud Chacham in Chayim. Ella Kim Chayv Tzurim and Abanim Sham Tehefi Abid. So what would Rav Papa do if it came to a situation where a Talmud Chacham needs Nidui? So the answer is Kihod Demamar Rava. Rav Papa would do like what they do in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Mimnu and Megidit Tzurim and Abanim. They would vote that where necessary, they would whip a Talmud Chacham who did something wrong. They would not vote to put him in Chayv. So in other words, giving him Malkus is the least worst option. So if that was the situation, then a Papa would have the guy brought to Beis Din and given Malkus. But he wouldn't put him in Chayrim, because Chayrim is a very serious thing. Which leads the Gemara to say, my Shamta, why do we call it Shamta? Amarav Shom Misa. It's short for the words Shom Misa, which means there is death. In other words, it lasts for the rest of the person's life, unless of course they're matter. It can also mean that precipitates that the person will die sooner. Or Shmuel am a shmama here. Shmuel says the word shamta is related to the word shmama, meaning desolation. The person becomes desolate because of it. And the Gemara continues, Umahani be kitichia betanura, it's as effective, a shamta is as effective on the person that it was done to, like the fat that you smear on an oven. You take an oven, a clay oven, like they had in those times, and you smear it with fat, and the fat gets absorbed in, and never completely comes out. So in other words, the point is that when a person is put in shamta, there's always an after effect of it that stays forever. Even though eventually they're matter the shamta, there's still a certain after effect of it that stays. But the Gemara says a pligger to the shlokish, but that statement disagrees with what the shlokish says. The shlokish says the effects of a shamta are not so permanent. Just like as when the chayim is put on the person, it goes into and it affects all 248 of his limbs. The same way when it leaves the person, when they're matter, it leaves all 248 of them and doesn't leave over any residue. Where do we see that? The pasuk describes by Yericho, it says, well, the city will be Chelem, and the word Chelem, the Gematria Masayim Ba'abor Mishmoinahabu. This is Gematria 248. Kshiyotza, and when it leaves, also we know that it leaves from all 248. The pasuk says, in anger, you remember Rachim, you remember to be merciful. Rachim, the Gematria Hochiyabu, the word Rachim is also Gematria 248. Marsha points out, by the way, why does the Gemara, there's many psukim that use the word chayim, there's many psukim that use the word rachim. The reason the Gemara uses dafka these is because the fact that we use the word ha'ir chayim represents the ir ktana, the body is compared in Sefer Kehelas to a small city, as the Alfred ever puts it in Tanya, you have two kings that Yitzhahara and the Yitzhahara are constantly fighting over it. So therefore, that's why we use the word b'hoisa irchayim. And when it leaves, so we're saying that when the ruigas, the chayim that goes into a person with great anger, with the dayanim are angry at him and put him in chayim, that same thing, that eventually they have rachnim, and then the rachnim affects all his 248 avarim, and it goes completely out, says Rish Lakish. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Shodi Shamta Avnuv to the Kalba. If you put a Shamta, a Chayim, even on the tail of a dog, the Do Avda, it will have its effect. The tail will get damaged. As we have an example, Dahu Kalba Dava Ochem the Sonny did Abonon. There was once a dog that was chewing up the shoes of the Chachamim. They had no idea. They keep on seeing their shoes are disappearing or are damaged or whatever, and they don't know who's doing it. So they just put a generic chayim on whoever it is that's doing this. Well, they didn't know it was a dog. Eventually, a fire caught onto the dog's tail, and it ended up burning up the dog's tail. So now, in other words, the chayim that they put, even though they had no idea who or what it was on, it wound up affecting the dog's tail because the dog was in fact guilty. We don't know where they were leaving their shoes, but whatever it is, No. You find, by the way, in a number of places in the Rambam, he mentions the Kona of the Gaonim, that they would have a concept called Chedem Stam. You have cases where a person has a claim against somebody else. It's not a strong enough claim to force the other guy to take a Shavua in Beis Din, not even a Shavua de Rabbanon, but nevertheless, the person can make a Chedem Stam. He could say generically a Chedem against whoever did such and such and doesn't admit it or whatever, and it had an effect. People would be afraid of it because, as we're saying in the Gemara here, even we see that it affected even the dog.
Does it by himself?
We're talking about a Beis Din. Another example, Hahu Alma to have a comet sirely loud. Well, no, you don't always need a base. And you said before, an individual Talmud Chacham can also do this.
You mentioned Hashem's name or anything?
It doesn't say anything about mentioning Hashem's name, I don't know.
Just said the person's inherent?
The person's inherent, yeah. So the Gemara says, Hahu Alma to have a comet sirely loud, who serve him at Abonon. It happened once that there was this tough guy, or this rich, tough guy, who was harassing a young Talmud Chacham. Also, the Kameh did Rabbi Yosef, so he came to Rabbi Yosef to ask what to do. Amalei Zil Shabbe, so Rabbi Yosef said, put him in Chayim. Amalei Mistapinami, so the Talmud Chacham says, I'm afraid of him. He's going to get back at me. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, Shili Pishale. Okay, so write out a document of Chayim. Even worse, I have even more reason to be afraid of him than there's actual written evidence of what I did. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, Shakle, okay, here's what you do. Take that written shanta, put it in an earthenware jug, the Achse Bekiri, and bury that in the cemetery, the Kori Be Alpha Shipuri by Boyin, and call out into it 1,000 shofar blasts during for 40 days. In other words, it actually explains, blow into the jug. You don't want to blow outside because people are going to hear the noise. And like you said, it may come back. The person may find out about it, but blow into the jug so that the sound will be muffled. Do that for 40 days. Oven, ozel, oven, hochki. So the young Talmud Chacham went and did that. Pocket kada. The earthenware, actually, achse bekiri doesn't mean bury it in the Beis HaKodesh, it just means place it in the Beis HaKodesh. So he did that. Pokakada, umis, the jug broke open, and the guy, this tough guy who had been harassing him, died. Umis Alma, and that tough guy died. Maharsha explained, the symbolism was, the earthenware jug represents the person. Odom yisodim offer a sofer the offer, just like an earthenware jug is made out of, just like a clay jug is made out of earth. So you're gonna use that almost as like a proxy for this person, where you keep on declaring the cherem and blowing the shofar into it, and eventually it'll have an effect on him, as in fact it did. So the most is Maishi Puri. What's the symbolism of that we blow shofar when a person is put in cherem? That means, because the word shikuri is similar to the word shenifroin mimenu. It shows that Hashem is going to pay him back and punish him. My tavra, why do we blow shvarim when we put somebody in cherem, we blow tkia and shvarim. Why that was shvarim? Omer, Rav Yitzchak, Brei de Rav Yehuda, tavri boti rom. It symbolizes the idea that a cherem breaks the tall houses, meaning it has an effect, even like we just said in the previous story, on powerful, haughty people like that. Titania, as we learn in a Brice, Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kol Mokum Shenosnu Chachamim Einehem, whenever the Chachamim put their eyes on something that somebody that they put in cherem, or somebody that they're angry at, or whatever, Oy Misa, Oy Oyni, either it causes death or poverty. So we see that even the high houses representing the strong, tough, wealthy people, even they get harmed by a shamta. And then for that, we use a shvarim there to represent that idea. They get broken. So now we're done with the topic of Nidui. Now we're getting back to the main topic of our Mishnah, which was the various people who are allowed and not allowed to take haircuts during Chol HaMoed. So we said, V'hanozer v'hametzoda v'tumosu v'tarosei, among the ones who are allowed to take haircuts during Chol HaMoed are a nozer or a mitzoda who are going from Tuma to Tara. So we said that going from Tuma to Tara might refer only to the mitzoda, or it might refer to the nozer as well, meaning the nozer who became Tomei and now has to shave and bring his korbanos. Anyway, so Bominei Reb Yirmiyah min Reb Zeira. So now Reb Yirmiyah asks Reb Zeira, are we talking about the Shaloi Hayolahem Tnai? Are we talking about where the time for their shaving came out during Chol HaMoed? They didn't have the time before that. So for example, with the mitzoda, let's say, so we say the mitzvah has to, once the tzaras is healed, and the kohen sees that it's healed, he does the whole thing with the two birds and the water and so forth. Then after that, the guy counts 7 clean days, and then he shaves, and then he brings his korbanos. Are we talking about davka where the 7 days are up during Chol HaMoed, so therefore he couldn't have shaved before? Oy, duma, after shahilem p'nai, or do we mean, even if they had time before Chol HaMoed, and just they didn't get around to it, then they were allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed? Omalei, so Reb Zeira answers him, Tanina. We learn in a Braisa. Kol Eilu Sha'omim return Lagalei Chol HaMoed. All these cases in the Mishnah where he said they were allowed to cut their hair during Chol HaMoed is talking about the Shaloi Lahem Pnai, when they didn't have time beforehand. Abel Hoy Lahem Pnai. But if they had time before Chalamoid Asurim, then generally they're awesome. However, Nazir or Metzorah, however, the Nazir and the Metzorah are the exception. So in other words, when we said, for example, we gave in the Mishnah the example, let's say a person came back from a trip. So we said he's allowed to cut his hair because he couldn't do it while he was on his voyage. But that means if he came back before Yom Tov, then he should get his hair cut then. And if not, then he doesn't have a dispensation to do it during Chalamoy. And the same way with the various other ones in the Mishnah. But not the Nazir and the Metzorah, the Braisa says, even though they had time, mutarim, they are mutar to cut their hair, even in Chalamoid, shelo yashu korbanos sehem, so that they don't delay their korbanos any longer, because they can only bring their korbanos after they shave. So in other words, therefore, we're not going to penalize them by saying, you didn't do it before Yom Tov, therefore you can't do it till after, because we don't want them to have to delay their korbanos until after Yom Tov. But all the other cases, we tell them, you should have cut your hair before Yom Tov, and if you didn't, then that's your problem. Even though they delayed it. Tana, now we learn in a braisa, ha-koyen va-ovel mutarim b'giluach. We learn in a braisa, a koyen and an ovel are allowed to cut their hair during Chalamoy. So we have to figure, I ovel ha-yichidami. What's the case of the ovel? Ilema shakal shmini shaloi v'erev ha-regel. Are we talking about where the eighth day of his Avelus came out on Erev Yom Tov? So in other words, the last day of Shiva was 2 days before Yom Tov. Now already the eighth day since the Kvura is on Erev Yom Tov. Well, at that point, actually, we're going to learn later on in the Perek that Yom Tov is going to cancel the rest of Shloshim, which means that he's going to be able to cut his hair and do all the other things that he wouldn't have been able to do during Shloshim. So therefore, Iboile the Galuchi be'erev ha'regel. So he should have cut his hair Erev Yom Tov, because Erev Yom Tov already, you're already 1 day into the Shloshim, and therefore Yom Tov is going to cancel the rest of the Shloshim. So at that point, you should be allowed to take a haircut. And if he didn't, then that's his problem. Erev Shachal Shmini Shalalias B'Shabbos Erev ha'regel. So are we talking about that Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos, and therefore he can't cut his hair, and the day before that is the end of Shiva? Is the end of Shiva? Well, still Iboile the Galuchi Erev Shabbos. Still, in that case, he should have still cut his hair on Erev Shabbos, which was the seventh day. Why? The Amar of Chista, Amar of Vina Bashiva, Halacha ka Abashol. Because, first of all, the Halacha is like Abashol, that you don't even need full 7 days of Shiva. Once you had, as long as the burial was seven or more days before, then Yom Tov already canceled. In other words, we're going to have the discussion later on about Mitzvah Sayyim Kekuloi. Does the seventh day itself count as the beginning of Shloshim, or is the whole seventh day still belongs to Shiva? The halacha is like Abashol, that the seventh day itself is already considered the first day of Shloshim. Because Mitzvah Sayyim Kekuloi, once you have the morning of the seventh, then that's it. You don't have to keep the rest of the seventh day as Shiva, which is how we do nowadays, which is why the Ovel gets up the morning of the seventh. And furthermore, Rav Chista says, Umoydim Chachamim La'Abashol, even the Chachamim who disagree and say that normally the whole seventh day is still part of Shiva, they agree, V'shachal Shmini Shalavias B'Shabbos, if the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, B'Shabbos Erev Regel, that if the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, which is also Erev Yomtiv, Shemotav Galech B'Erev Shabbos, then the Chachamim will agree that he's allowed to take a haircut on Erev Shabbos, because then it's an onus, because otherwise he's not going to be able to take a haircut until after Chalamoyed. So what's the case where an oval is allowed to cut his hair during Chalamoyed? By the way, Tosfos points out, for the eighth day to be on Shabbos, wouldn't that mean the burial itself was on Shabbos? You don't do a burial on Shabbos. So what's the case? Tosfos says, let's say not that the burial was on Shabbos, but he received the news that his relative had passed away on Shabbos. We're going to talk about later in the parak about Shmuel Kroiva and Shmuel Rechoika. There are certain cases where when a person gets the news that his relative passed away, he starts counting Shiva from then, and then that could conceivably happen on Shabbos.
What would they want to tell him on Shabbos?
Well, let's say they did. Let's say for whatever reason he found that on Shabbos. You know, you think about it. For example, the Friedrich could ever pass away on Shabbos. People who were alive at that time, you can find it in various Yamanim and all, they mentioned that, for example, there were people walking to 770 that Shabbos morning, and the Goyish mailman was the first one who told them, you know, your rabbi died. And like, they didn't believe it until they came to 770, but it happens, you know. So,
But
then it could be inadvertently, or it could be whatever, like a goy, like in this case, whatever. Tosfos brings another possibility from the Yerushalmi. Let's say, for example, you have Rahman al-Tzlan, a person was dragged away by wild animals. Now they can be trying to look for the body, but eventually you get to the point where, look, you know, we're not going to find it. It was probably eaten up, or it's who knows where. And then at that point, they give up. Shiva begins at that point. So suppose you have that, that suppose they give up on Shabbos. So then you could have the first day could be Shabbos and the eighth day could be Shabbos. Anyway, back to the Gemara. The question is, therefore, so what's the scenario where an oval should be, where, what's the question, what's the scenario where we're saying that an oval is allowed to cut his hair during Chol HaMoed? Where we're saying he couldn't have done it before, but he's going to be able to do during Chol HaMoed. So the answer is, the answer is, suppose that his seventh day of Avelus comes out on Shabbos, which is also Erev Yom Tov. Now, Tana Bora, the Tana of the Braisa, who said that the oval is allowed to shave. Now remember, our Mishnah had said, when we look back at our Mishnah, and we have the list over there of the people who are allowed to shave, so it doesn't mention an oval. It mentions Habomim didn't say Yamim Beis Hashivya, VaYotzim Beis Asurin, VaMenuda Sheitiru LaChachamim, VaChein VeShenisha LaChachim VaHuter, VaHanozer VaMitzayim VeTumasa VeTarasi. An oval is missing, implying that according to our Mishnah, even though the oval couldn't have taken a haircut before Yom Tov, nevertheless he still can't take it on Chol HaMoed. That's not considered an onus. Whereas the Braisa had mentioned that an oval could. So what's the machlokes? We're talking about where the seventh day comes out on Shabbos Erev Yom. Tana boros sovel like Abashol. So now, Tana of the Braisa holds like Abashol. He says that part of the day counts already as the whole thing. So therefore, so the seventh day is actually, so the seventh day is also the first day of Shloshim. The Kivin to Shabbos, Havi, since that day is Shabbos, and he can't cut his hair. Onusu, therefore it's considered a case of Oinet, and therefore he can take a haircut during Solomon. Tana Didan, whereas the Tana of Or Mishnah, that did not mention that an oval can take a haircut, Savalak Rabbanon, he holds like Rabbanon, Da'ami Loyam Yunin Mitzah Seyem Kukuloi, he says we do not say that the seventh day counts, like part of it counts like the whole thing. You need seven full days, so Shiva is not even over. Va'akati le'sholom aveilus to Shiva, therefore, that Shabbos, the Shiva is not even completed yet. So therefore, it's not a matter of onus. Whether it was Shabbos or not, he wouldn't have been able to take a haircut. Therefore, the Chachamim don't want him to, therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't want him taking a haircut on Chol HaMoed, because that's not considered an onus. So that's the case of the oval. So now, Hai Koyin Hei Chidami, the next question is, we said in the Braisa that a Koyin, which the Braisa had mentioned, a Koyin is able to cut his hair during Chol HaMoed, which again the Mishnah had not mentioned. What's the scenario? Ilema de Sholem Mishmarta Erev Aregel. Oh, you're talking about that his Mishmar is over on Erev Yom Tov. In other words, the Mishmaris always begin and end, as we learned in Masechta Tainis and in Sukkah. They always begin and end on Shabbos. So are we talking about that the end of his Mishmar was on Shabbos, which happens to be Erev Yom Tov? Well then, so what? He should have cut his hair on Erev Shabbos, because we learned in Tainis, we also learned at the beginning of our Perek, that the Anshe Mishmar during the week of their Mishmar are not allowed to cut their hair because we don't want them coming to their Mishmar unkempt. But on Thursday and on Friday of that week, they are allowed to make way to Shabbos. So in that case, so why are we telling him he can cut his hair during Chol HaMoed? He should have cut his hair on Thursday or Friday of the week of his Mishmar, which he would have been allowed to do. And the answer is, Loitzrich of the Sholem Mishmar to Beregel. The case is where his Mishmar finishes during the Yom Tov. So let's say, for example, Rashi gives the example. Let's say the first day Yom Tov was Thursday. So now he couldn't cut his hair that day because it's Yom Tov. And then when does Mishmar end? His Mishmar ends on the third day of the Yom Tov, on the second day. So in other words, the second day of Chol HaMoed. So now, Tana Didan Sover, our Tana does not allow him to take a haircut, because our Tana takes the view, given to Tanan Shloshim Prakim Hashana, Hoyukam Mishmaris Shabbos Ben Murah Regolim of Chiluk Lacham upon him. We learned at the end of Sukkah that during the Shabbos Regolim, all the Mishmaris all equally share, they all have equal rights to bringing the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. They would, most young children said they would do a pious, they would do a lottery to see which ones do it, because you don't have enough Korbanos for all the Mishmaris. But on Sukkot, we said they had enough Korbanos for all the Mishmaris, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, all the Mishmaris have equal rights in that, over Chiluk Lachan Aponim, and all of them have equal rights to Lachan Aponim. Well, therefore, so the Tana of our Mishnah holds, Kimandale Sholem Mishmar to Beregel Dami. So it's the equivalent of that the Mishmar did not end during Yom Tov. because he says it's still doing his mishmar. It's still doing his mishmar. His mishmar continues until the end of Yom Tov. So therefore, he can't cut his hair during the Yom Tov, just like he can't cut during the regular week of his mishmar. The Tana Bora Sava, whereas the Tana of the Braisa holds, Afa Gabda Shayach, Bahani Mishmaris, true that he has a certain connection because he can bring the Korbanos, nevertheless, Mishmartin, Yoshlimalei, but the actual Mishmar is ended on Shabbos. After that, he has a semi connection to the Mishmar because all the Mishmaris joined together, but nevertheless, his actual week of Mishmar ended on Shabbos, so now it's not during his Mishmar, and therefore he's able to cut his hair. And since he couldn't have cut it during the previous week, because the scenario was, we said that Yom Tov was on Thursday, then therefore necessarily we have to allow him to cut his hair during Chol HaMoed, it says the Braisa. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.